Welcome to the Highway Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you today.
Such anointed worship this morning, hey? Whew. You know, like when you don't want to get up, when you're just like, we could just stay here? How are we doing this morning, church? What a beautiful day it is. How nice is it that it's starting to cool down a bit, hey? I love it. I work in the sun, so I'm loving it. Courtney's loving it because it means I'll turn the aircon off soon. Hey, what a privilege it is to be able to enter into God's presence like that. And I'm not talking about how lucky we are to live in a country that allows us to freely do that. I'm talking about what a privilege it is that the creator of the universe invites us into his presence. What a privilege it is that the God that created everything looked at you, looked at me, and said, hey, I want them to know me. I want them to enter my presence. I want them to live in eternity with me. Not only that, he doesn't want to be a distant God, but he wants to be a personal God. He wants to be in relationship with you. And he paid the price. He bridged the gap so that we could do that. How awesome is that? Whew. Hey, I'm going to do something a bit different. Turn to your neighbor and ask them, beach or mountains? Beach or mountains? Make sure you tell your neighbor too, whether it's beach or mountains, right? I guess. So for me, right, don't get me wrong, I love the beach. I love anything to do with water. I love to swim. I love to fish. I love sitting on the beach. I love sitting on the beach. I love looking out over the ocean and just being in awe of God's size and majesty. But man, put me in those mountains. Put me in that solitude. Put me in creation. Courtney thinks I'm weird. Right, because just the other week we were out here and we were just taking a moment just on a Friday getting ready. We were just taking a moment to take in God and I just turned to her and I said, have you ever thought about leaves? So here's my question. Have you ever thought about leaves? I've got some homework for you when we finished this morning. On your way out, whether you go that way or out the front doors, just have a look, take note how many different leaves you see. Different sizes, different shapes, different colors, different textures. But here's the thing, right? God could have just made one leaf and we wouldn't have known. God could have just made one tree, one leaf. That's what I would have done. You know, maybe I would have made three of each and we could have had nine different trees. I don't know. But if God cares so much about such a seemingly insignificant detail, if he pays so much attention to something that's so unimportant, how much more attention, how much more does he care about you? Hey? I'm going to pray again. All right. Hey, Lord, I thank you for this honor, for this privilege it is to be here, Lord, to come around your word. And Father, I just pray that your words would flow from this pulpit this morning, Lord. That my words, Lord, they wouldn't make it past this carpet section here, Lord, but it'd be your words that reach the ears and the hearts of your people. Lord, I just pray that we would all receive something this morning. In your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to be honest, that was nothing to do with my message. I was just preparing last night, and I'm like, I got to tell them about the leaves, man. Now, I'm excited about what my actual message that I'm bringing is, right? Because, I mean, I get to speak on our vision scripture for the year. Like, how awesome is that? It's 2 Kings 4, verses 1 to 7. Such a thick bit of scripture, hey. There's just so much to unpack, so much depth in this scripture. And I really hope that I've refined what I'm going to say enough that it's not just a whole lot of verbal diarrhea while I try and tell you everything that I... Yeah? Now, I think I've told you this before, but in case you haven't, or I haven't, I started reading the Word a bit differently over the last 2 years, right? When I read through a passage like this one, I read it through and then I look at all the perspectives that are in that passage, and then I go through and I reread and I reread and I reread, trying to read it from each perspective, right? So I read through this passage, and if you know it, I identified three perspectives I could read it from. You know, the first two I think are pretty obvious, the woman, the wife of the man, you know, the sons. Now, funnily enough, I didn't even realize this other one, which you're probably assuming is the third one until last night, but the third one isn't Elisha. And I don't know if there's anybody in here who thinks like me, but the third perspective I saw was the perspective of the jars. Now, I'm not a mum, but I felt like I could sort of read through as if I was a mum. I am a son, so I managed to read through as if I was a son. When it came through to read through as if I was a jar, it was a bit difficult. The good news is I used to be a teenage boy, so I get a grasp of having nothing in here. So, unless you're Lockie. Lockie, you're so smart, bro. Anyway, can we read the scripture? Can we open up to 2 Kings 4, verse 1 to 7? And I'm just going to throw a few things in there as we go, just break it up a bit. But yeah, we ready? The wife of the man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me what you have in your house." "Your servant has nothing at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." You know something I missed the first time I was reading through this? And it wasn't until I went through and tried to put myself in her perspective. She's not crying out like a woe is me crying out, like, "Oh, my life sucks, this is so hard." She's got a bit of fire in her bones. She's gone a bit mama bear, you know what I'm saying? Like she's appealing to God. She's saying, "Hey, God, this isn't fair. My husband loved you. My husband served you. And now this man is coming to take our boys away." Verse 3, Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars. As each is filled, put it to one side." Man, I feel like there's at least three messages in those two verses. And I'm not even going to try, but I'm going to say from the mum's perspective here again, can you imagine you've just told this man, "Hey, I need money because someone's coming to take my sons and I need to pay." And he's going, "Well, what do you got at home?" "Oh, I got a little bit of olive oil." He's like, "Oh, we'll just pour it in some jars. You'll be right." Could you imagine? Like, I'd be like, "Did you not hear what I just said? It's a little jar of oil. It's not going to fill the..." But man, I love her faith and I love her obedience. Now, she left him, shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars and to her, and she kept pouring. Whew. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live off what's left." The posture of this woman. The humility of this woman. You can thank Courtney for this little one that I'd missed, but she had her miracle. I mean, it's not like she didn't know that oil was valuable. It's not like she didn't know she could sell the oil to buy her son's freedom. But she still goes back to Elisha, goes back to God and says, "Hey, what's next?" Man, I feel like I do this. I don't know if you guys do this. I get annoyed when people do it to me and finishing other people's sentences, other people's ideas. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like we can try and finish our own miracles sometimes because we think we know the answer. But hey, I want this posture that even if I think I can see it, even if it's clear as day, I'm going to check with him first. Yeah? Awesome. I'm going to jump into my first point here. And it's my first point is God is faithful. So we read verse 1 and 2 again, right? The wife of the man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied, "How can I help you? Tell me what you have in your house." "Your servant has nothing at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Now, in ancient Israel, there were three types of anointed people. There's three people that got anointed, three roles that you got anointed for, right? The first was a king. A king was anointed to rule his people. I'm going to steal some of Pastor Caleb's language here from the other week, if you've listened to the message already or not. But the other two was a priest and a prophet. See, priests were anointed to represent the people to God, and prophets were anointed to represent God to the people. See, when this woman cries out to Elisha, when Elisha comes to her town and she cries out to Elisha, she's not crying out to a man, she's crying out to God. She's not confronting a man, she's confronting God. She's not appealing to a man, she's appealing to God. See, when I read verse 2, and Elisha asks what she has, and she has nothing but a small jar of oil, I can't help but see this sad little montage in my head of you know, it's her and her two boys, her husband's just died, and she gets a knock on the door. Oh, the payment's due. She gives him all the money she has. End of next month, she gets another knock on the door. She has to sell all the valuable things in her house. End of the next month, a knock on the door, she has to start selling furniture. And it keeps going and going and going until she's at this point where she just has a small jar of olive oil left, and she knows that it's not enough. See, how easy would it have been for her to get at that point to go, "Well, God's abandoned us." Because, you know, I don't imagine that she started praying then when she had the little jar of olive oil left. I'd be willing to bet everything that she was praying the first time that debtor came, that she was praying every day up until that point, that she was crying out to God every day up until that point. Yet still she believed in God's faithfulness. See, I have to wonder, because then I'm guilty of this. What if we prayed for our prodigals the same way? What if instead of coming in with all this passion as they start to fall away, or as they start to walk away and then slowly dying off in passion and urgency, and start saying things like, "Oh, well, they're just on their walk. Well, you know, oh, they'll come back." What if every day that they got taken further and further into slavery, we got more and more passionate, more and more urgent in our prayers, and started crying out to God, appealing to his faithfulness? You know, God, he loved you. God, she loved you. They served you, God. And the world has come and taken them as slaves, God, and only you can set them free. How easy it would have been for her to just walk away. How easy it would have been for her to just say, "Hey, guess God doesn't care." Or, I mean, here's one thing I thought of. They were probably going to have a better quality of life as slaves. All she had was a little jar of olive oil. They might have had a bed. They probably would have had a meal every day. Yeah, she was so sure of God's faithfulness, so sure that if she could just get to God, get to the man who could give her God's answer, that God would be faithful. See, I don't know who needs to hear this morning, but it's not too late. You might feel like you've given everything. You might feel like you've prayed every prayer, there's nothing left, and you're ready to give up. You might be at the end of your rope, but it's not just a cliche saying when we say, if there's breath in your lungs, God isn't done. And it goes the same for them. If there's breath in their lungs, God isn't done. You can cry out, appeal to God's faithfulness. Our God is a faithful God. Lamentations 3:21-25. Let's go. "Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. Great is his faithfulness. How God is a faithful God. You can cry out to God. You can depend. You can appeal to his faithfulness. I'm going to take us back to verse 4 now. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars. As each is filled, put it to one side. Who's ever had something happen to them? So weird, so left of field, that after it happens, like I'm talking immediately after it happens, you doubt that that just happened. Right? So I'll be honest, I didn't know if I wanted to share this story here, but 2 weeks ago, okay, this is fresh. 2 weeks ago, I was at work. If you don't know, I work as a concreter. Ruben's heard the story. I work as a concreter, right? We have this tool that it's called a vibrator. It looks like a whippersnipper, but instead of having a head on the end that spins and cuts grass, it has like a pole that vibrates and works the air bubbles and works the concrete into the tight spaces, right? Runs on petrol. Anyway, that's important for the story. We're working on this site. It's one of these great sites where you closest parking is like 200 meters away. We've just barred in this wheel drive. Just barred in this driveway, right? And the foreman's come and told us, hey, we got another thing we need you to pour today. Like right now, like the truck's here. So I'm rushing around trying to get the stuff ready to go to this other pour. It's just like another 300 meters into the site, right? So I run over to the truck, grab the vibrator. I have a look. I open the fuel tank on the vibrator to see if there's fuel in it. No, tip it right up. Completely empty. Like, I need the vibrator for 5 minutes. Half a cup of fuel would have been enough, right? Anyway, have a quick look on the truck. No jerry can. All right, take the vibrator over to where we're working. Ask the boys, hey, where's the jerry can? Oh, it's on the truck. It's not on the truck. I looked on the truck. Right, anyway, I go back to the truck. The jerry can's on the truck. That's not the weird thing. I'm just not good at looking for things. You can ask Courtney if you don't. Right? I take the jerry can back over to the, and this is like, we've got a concrete truck here. They charge you like something ridiculous per minute after half an hour, right? I've got to be quick. And I take the spout, I put it on the jerry can, I walk over the vibrator, undo the fuel cap, and this shook me, okay? I'm being honest, this shook me. I undid the cap, and the fuel tank was full. Not half full, not three quarters full, not up to the neck. This was like when I put the lid back on, some spilt out full. And I looked around and I was asking the boys, like, who filled this up? I'm looking for another jerry can. I've got the only jerry can in my hand. And I've got no idea what's going on, but I've got no time to work it out, right? So I just put the jerry can down and start walking to where I've got to go. And I'm trying to work out what happened in my head. I'm thinking I've been pranked, right? And as I'm walking, I just, you know, a gentle whisper of the Holy Spirit. It's like, why don't you ask me what happened? I'm like, I'm a bit freaked out. I don't know if I want to. But I say, hey, God, are you trying to show me something? Or what are you trying to show me? And I got... Are you wasting time trying to fill something that's already full? Now, understand, when I read this 2 Kings 4, 1-7, and I got to verse 4 that said, then go inside, shut the door behind you and your sons, pour oil into all the jars. As each jar is filled, put it to one side. I hope you understand that hit. Right? So my second point is this, is it's empty jars that need filling. See, do you need to recognize you're already full? And step aside and make room for the next person to be filled up. Or even to lead the next person to be filled up. Now, I want you to hear my heart here. This isn't a holier than thou thing. I can tell you this week, I've spent a lot of time in prayer. And a lot of things have brought up, attitudes, mindsets. A lot of things that God's brought up, the things that I need to put aside to make room for other people. I'm just being honest with you with what God's doing in me. And hey, if there's somebody else in this room that needs to hear it, that's awesome. And if there's nobody, that's even better. But this is the reality. Can I be real with you, church? Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5:15. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. It's a bit of a... In my head, when I read verses like this, you know the karaoke ball that bounces from word to word? I see this like karaoke ball bouncing backwards and forwards. It's like him that died for the ones that lived that died for the... but see, those of us that are alive in Christ, those of us that are born again, those of us that are spirit-filled, there comes a time, there comes a point when it needs to stop being all about us. When we need to lay down what might have been important to us, what might have been very important to us and us finding God or us being filled, and realize that maybe we need to step aside and start living for Him. See, there are going to be times when we need to make room for people that don't know Him yet. Verses 5 and 6. She left him and shut the doors behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her. She kept pouring, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. When all the jars were full. My third point is this: empty jars will be filled. See, every jar they brought was filled. Not half of the jars, not some of the jars. Every jar they brought was filled. You know, our senior pastor, he's got a bit of a new saying, Pastor Byron, I don't know if you've heard it yet, but it's, if you love them, invite them. Every jar they brought would be filled. See, I didn't know that I was empty until I was filled with God. I didn't know that I needed God until I had Him. See, I knew something was missing. I knew I needed more, but I didn't know that I didn't know. How could I? See, if you want your family saved, if you want your family set free, invite them. If you want your friends, your workplace, your school set free, bring them. All jars, the jars were filled. Every single jar. See, here's the thing though, right? Put yourself back in their shoes. The debtor's on the way to take the sons. There's bound to be better things they could have been doing with their time than collecting empty jars from their neighbors. Right? They had to collect these jars in faith that what God had said through Elisha would be true, would come true. See, bring your family, bring your friends, bring your workmates. Bring them in faith that they will be filled. If you love them, invite them. See, if we're making room for them, we may as well bring them in as well, yeah? See, our world needs Jesus. The Gold Coast needs Jesus. There's too much pain. There's too much destruction. There's too much hopelessness. There's too many lies. There's too much of everything coming against people that our Savior loves, that our Savior died for. What did it say? What was that verse? He died, and He died for all. But John 3:16, we all know it. For God so loved the world, that He sent His only Son so that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. See, part of living for God, part of living for Jesus is that we bring them in. We give them an opportunity to meet them. This is something that we say to our youth quite often. is we're not here to convince you God's real, because knowledge of God won't change anything. We're here to give you a chance to meet Him and let Him change your life. See, our world needs Jesus. Let's start bringing them in here to meet Him, yeah? See, our God is a faithful God. And if we're making room for them, they will be filled. You can come back, Mark, if you want. So if you're visiting this morning, if someone's invited you along, I might have just let the cat out of the bag, but it turns out the person that invited you loves you. And that's why they invited you here. Or maybe you found your way here all on your own. I've got another thing to let you know, and this is a setup. God planned this. He wanted to meet you. You know, we have a God that loves you so much that He paid the price just so that you could meet Him. And I want to give you an opportunity this morning. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, maybe all you know is the hopelessness and the lies of the world. Maybe all you know is the pain. I want to give you a chance to meet our Jesus, to meet our God, who will give you hope, who will give you joy, who will set you free. Who's paid the price so that you don't have to be in slavery. You don't have to be in bondage to the world. See, a God that wants to give you a brand new start. You know, when I met Jesus for the first time, when He changed my life, I was at the end of my rope. I was literally trying to end my life. But where I had no joy or no hope, in a moment with Him, I had joy, I had hope, I had peace. I want to give you a chance this morning to say yes to that, to meet our Jesus. So while everyone's heads bowed and everyone's eyes closed, if that's you, I just want to ask you to give me a wave. And I just want to pray with you. And you're not joining our church. You're not joining a movement. I just want the opportunity to pray with you and to walk you through inviting Jesus into your life. So if that's you here this morning, just give me a wave. Let me see your hand. Awesome. So good. If we have a God that cares so much about leaves, can I tell you right now, He cares so much about you. You're worth waiting for. One more time, is there anyone else here in this room? Awesome. So good. Well, I want to pray with you. And what we're going to do is we're all going to stand to our feet right now. And I'm going to invite you to come down here and meet me on this altar. And as you come, everyone's going to cheer, everyone's going to clap, because we know that this is the best decision you are ever going to make. So would you come? Come on. So good. So good. So I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. We're all going to pray this together. Yeah? Awesome. So just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I want your hope. I want your joy. I thank you that you died for me, that I could live. I accept your gift. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Come on. Now, if you want to go with Kirsten, She's got a Bible for you, and we just want to give you some resource and do whatever we can do to help you on your walk. Can I pray for the rest of us? Oh, Heavenly Father, I'm just so grateful for you. Lord, I'm just so grateful for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, I just pray that you would help us, that you would show us, Lord, where we need to step back or where we need to step aside, Lord, that you would show us what we need to do to live our lives for you, Lord, to make room for the people that need to know you, Lord. Father, I just pray a boldness and a courage over everyone in this room, Lord. I pray for fresh ears to hear your voice. I pray for a fresh heart to receive your voice, Lord. Lord, I pray for just an eagerness, Lord. You know, even if we don't have that courage or that boldness, Lord, I pray for an eagerness that would overcome that fear, that would overcome that anxiety, Lord, an urgency, Lord. Oh, Jesus, show us how to live. Show us how to do this. We thank you, Lord. Amen.
We hoped you loved that message. If you want any more information about us, head to highway.com.au.